Westside family. My name is Eric Johnson, and I serve on the production team. Thanks for joining us for this week's message. We hope you are blessed by what God has been speaking to us through our pastors and leaders, and we pray this leads you into an even more intimate relationship with Jesus. Love you guys, and enjoy.
I want to talk with you today about something that the Lord put on my heart several weeks ago. Again, we don't like just come up with little catchy themes and think, oh, that's a good little Christian message. That's a great idea. That rhymes nice. If you know me, I don't like Christian rhyming at all. I like real, legitimate, relatable words that come from the Lord. And I really felt like what I'm to speak today come from the Lord for some of you that is here this morning. And the title of this message is called It's Not Too Late, the Lazarus story. So Lazarus was a man in the Bible. He was a man during the time of Jesus, so the New Testament. And he's actually a man, the Bible says, that Jesus loved. You know, there's a few individuals in Scripture we see or we read the affection from Jesus toward these people. And it's really interesting when you dive into that. But this was one of the individuals in whom the Bible said that Jesus loved. Yeah, Jesus loved everybody, but when Scripture says that, we realize that there was a special connection between Jesus and the person in which the Bible is referring to when it says that. So there was a special connection, a special touch, a special relationship between Jesus and this man. Well, this man became sick, and Jesus was off in another area doing ministry. Jesus was also really close and connected with his two sisters, Mary and Martha. They sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, not just a little sick, but really sick, to the point of possibly dying. And what's interesting is Jesus didn't rush to Lazarus' side. He continued doing what he was doing. Well, long story short, Lazarus died. So worst case scenario occurred. And so by the time Jesus was able to get to where he was at, 4 days had passed. And the people that had called on Jesus, that had believed in Jesus, who wanted Jesus to come and pray for Lazarus and, of course, heal Lazarus, now had a change of heart. They had a change of attitude. Instead of expecting Jesus to come and basically revive Lazarus, Jesus came and their words to Jesus was, you're too late. It's too late. Their heart and their mindset and their faith was that it was too late for Jesus to rearrange the natural circumstance of death. Now, the term death is very symbolic for us today. So we're going to read a little bit of this story. The whole story is a chapter, but we're just going to read part of it. And we're going to read the literal aspect of it, the historical story. But within this story, there is a lot of symbolisms. There's a lot of representations that are applicable to us today. And death is one of those representations. Death is one of those symbols. In the context of this message today, death represents something in our life that we've lost, that has died, that used to exist, specifically in regards to our faith or our relationship with God. So speaking of death today, it could mean maybe you've lost your salvation. I know some people don't believe that's possible. I personally believe it is possible because of something Jesus said, but nonetheless, that's another talk altogether. Maybe you used to walk with God and no longer you walk with God. So that relationship has died. Maybe you used to believe in God, but you no longer believe in God. That faith has died. Maybe you used to have a passion for God, and because of life circumstances, you no longer have a passion for God. So that desire has died. Maybe you used to be in a very strong, loving relationship, but because of certain circumstances, maybe that relationship has died or is on the brink of death. Maybe you had a sense of purpose and fulfillment in life, but because of how life has turned for you, maybe you no longer have that sense of purpose and that sense of fulfillment. Maybe you had joy. Maybe you were happy, but now maybe that joy and that happiness doesn't exist, and that emotion and that characteristic or that fruit of the Spirit has now died. So hopefully you're getting the point that there's, what we're talking about today is that it's not too late for God to revive anything in your life that He put there, but that is no longer there. In spite of your circumstance, in spite of people's opinion, in spite of maybe judgment and assumption placed upon you, I'm here to tell you today, you're here for a distinct purpose. If there is death in you, you're not here just to hear this guy speak, but you are here because Jesus can do the impossible. Maybe you've gone to counselors and the counselors just didn't make it work. Maybe you've gone to churches and churches didn't make it work. Maybe you've come to this church and this church ain't making it work. Maybe you've maxed out the credit cards and the expenses isn't making it work. Maybe you've gone to the doctors and the doctors isn't making it work. Maybe you've been on a 10, 20, 40 day fast and the fast isn't making it work. Sometimes we can do any and everything that is possible, and regardless of what we do, the death that has occurred in us cannot be changed. But there is a time and there is a moment that is put in place by God Himself when Jesus in His sovereignty shows up in our life and He does what could not have been done, and He fulfills what somebody else could not fulfill, and He brings back to life what you have lost because He loves you and He can do all things because He is our sovereign God. So you're not here by accident. You're here because it's not too late for God to revive something or some things in your life that maybe you've lost. Let's read a portion of the story. Gospel of John, starting with chapter 11, verse 38, all the way down through verse 44. Then Jesus, again, groaning in Himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Look at somebody and say, "You need to believe." Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Loose him and let him go. Everyone thought that Jesus was too late to the scene. Everyone thought this man, because he had been dead 4 days, the stench had already begun to develop. The internal decay had already begun to start. That it was over. It was finished. That Jesus could not change the circumstance. So 4 days, simply 4 days, was too much for people to believe that God could do this miracle. The God that created all the universe in 6 days was being doubted that he could not raise a dead man who had been dead in 4 days. Isn't it funny how sometimes in life we can believe God for what we think is possible, but when we are tested in an area that maybe just doesn't line up in our psyche or our faith, we have a tendency to disbelieve in God's ability to do what he said he would do if we would just believe. And what's worse about this scenario is so oftentimes we don't think that way for ourselves, but we have a tendency to think that way for other people. That person is too far gone. They've been on drugs too long. That marriage is lost. They've been fighting since the day they said I do. That business will never get back on top. They're $500,000 in debt. It's so easy for us to look at other people's circumstance and act as the all-time judge because of our own lack of faith, disable God's ability to do something that he said he would do if we would just only believe. 4 days was too much for them to believe. Now let me ask you something. If you're here and there is a death in you, like we just previously mentioned, is the length of your death too much for you to believe that God can change your circumstance? The time that you have been without, the time that you have not had the life that you once had, has that time been so long that it has diminished the reality of your faith to the point in saying, instead of praying and declaring that God can and God will, what comes out of your mouth is God is too late. See, what's interesting is 4 days in Scripture represents completeness. There's a lot of fours in Scripture. And when you dive into those fours, you will see that all the fours together create a complete byproduct. 4 seasons in a year. 4 corners to a foundation. 4 gospels to Christ. The list goes on and on. So I have this to say to you, that just maybe your death, along with God's ability to resurrect you, can put you in a position to where you finally find completeness, or a completeness in the season that you're in and what God is trying to do for you right now. Maybe you have lost something just so that God can resurrect it. And the combination of your loss with resurrection is a way for God to make you complete in your faith. Because if you was to read the full story in the whole chapter, you will come across Jesus saying that Lazarus died so that God's glory can be revealed. See, Lazarus died, and Jesus did not come to the scene for 4 days so that there could be a death combined with a resurrection that could equal a completeness in Lazarus' life, in Martha's life, in Mary's life, and the people who know. Because just maybe, Lazarus' faith was not complete. Maybe Martha's faith was not complete, or Mary's faith not complete, or the people who knew Lazarus was not complete. But maybe God wanted to do a work in Lazarus to complete somebody's faith. So instead of doubting God or thinking that God is on a timeline, now they can wake up in the morning and they can truly declare and know that all things through Christ is possible. Now let's bring this home. Maybe you have died, and maybe God wants to resurrect you so that he can prove to you and so that he can prove to people in the know that he is God on the throne, that Jesus is all powerful, and that there's no reason to doubt, there's no reason to fear. At the end of the day, he's in control of what you have given to him. Amen. So they disbelieved because he had been dead 4 days. They disbelieved because he stank. Look at someone and say, you don't stink today. Just give them a thank you. Say, thank you for not stanking today. It's easier. It's not a day to stank. Amen. So the effect of his death was noticeable. The effects of his death was offensive. Maybe you've become offensive to somebody because the death that has occurred in your life also created a reaction in your state of emotions. Maybe you're sharp and you used to not be sharp. Maybe you're mean, and you used to not be mean. Maybe you're selfish, and you used to not be selfish. Maybe you're unthoughtful, and you used to not be unthoughtful. Maybe you were generous, and maybe now you're not so generous because something inside of you died. Because what we realize in life, when something dies in us, it becomes a domino effect. Death never stays contained within the person who experiences death alone. But death, in a literal state and in a spiritual state, always affects people who are connected to the one that is experiencing the death. And sometimes the outcome of us dying does not create such a pleasant person to be around. You're looking at me real hard. Wives, don't look at your husbands right now. Husbands, don't dare look at your wives right now. Parents, don't look at your kids, and kids, don't look at your parents. I'm sure we can all think of somebody that has went through a hardship, encountered a loss, and they didn't change for the good of it. What changed was maybe they became stanky. Maybe the outcome of their death was just absolutely noticeable. Maybe they became offensive. And because of this, They begin to push people away. And because of this, relationships became distant. And because of this, maybe connections were singed. Because sometimes that's what death does. Death in us has a tendency. There's always exceptions to the rule, but death in us has a tendency to be noticeable and offensive. They also didn't believe it because he had already started, his internal parts had already started to decay. So I did a little quick study on what, you know, the what happens to the body once you die. And there is a scientific study that says that 4 minutes after we die, our body actually starts decaying internally. See, they didn't believe he could be resurrected because of 4 days, because he stank, and he had already started decaying. Let me ask you this question. Has parts of your life started decaying because of something that has died in you? Has love started decaying? Has your joy started decaying? Has your peace started decaying? Has your marriage started decaying? Has your family started decaying? Has your friends started decaying? Has your passions started decaying? Has your desires started decaying? Has your purposes started decaying? Because when something dies in us, there is always the outcome of not only something that stinks or that is offensive, but there is also the outcome of something decaying inside of us. So everyone thought they knew. 4 days is too much for Jesus. But Jesus knew differently. So in 4 days, Jesus, let me just throw this out there. This is just a little extra. Why did Jesus know differently? Because he knew the Father, and this changes everything. You can experience a death and not experience the stench and not experience the decaying in your life if you continue in your intimate relationship with the Father. It changes everything. And Jesus knew differently because he knew the Father. It changes everything. So Jesus went to the grave on his timing. The sisters of Lazarus thought Jesus needed to be there sooner, but Jesus was there on his own time. Maybe you and I, maybe we've thought that Jesus should have been present in our life sooner. Jesus should have answered prayers before now. That Jesus missed the mark. Jesus did not make the scene. But we have to remind ourselves that God works according to his time structure. And not our own time structure. And this is mysterious, right? We can't really find a rhyme and a reason to this, because sometimes God works immediately and sometimes God works in days, weeks, months, years, and even decades. Jesus, could someone turn the air on, please? If one of my workers, you guys know, put it on about 65, it should be okay. So Jesus knew what he had to do and when he had to do it. It was Jesus' time. So Jesus arrived at the grave. He told him to remove the stone. What he was doing is he was making a way for Lazarus to come out of the grave. You being here today could represent a rolling back of a stone. Because God is positioning you to hear a message that's from Him, so that there is the potential and the possibility of you coming out of your grave. Not because of me, by any means, but because of Jesus. So they rolled back the stone. And here's something very interesting. Jesus called him by his name. Jesus called him by his identity. But now we read this two times in the area of scripture that I read. Who was Lazarus referred to when the verses was talking about him? The dead man. The dead man. Maybe someone has forgotten your name. Maybe you have forgotten your identity. Maybe you have disconnected with the fact that you have been saved, that you are a son or a daughter of God. And maybe when you look at yourself, you don't see your true identity, but maybe all you see is the death that has occurred in your life. When other people look at you, maybe they don't see you for who you are. Maybe all they see is a dead person. A person who's gone too far, a broken person, an addicted person, a lost person, a lying person, a thieving person, a bad person, a sorry person, a depressed person, a suicidal person. Maybe when they see you, they don't see what God sees in you. And that's one reason some people can't help you, because nobody can truly help you if they don't really know and see who you really are. But God knows and sees who you really are, and He calls you by name. And we have a couple examples of this in Scripture. So when Moses was in the wilderness and he experienced the burning bush, God called him by his name twice. And this was very, very, very symbolic. God said, "Moses, Moses." And there is a beautiful representation here. See, Moses was raised by two cultures, and these cultures conflicted with one another. Half of his life he was raised in Egypt, half of his life he was raised in the wilderness, but yet as a Hebrew. And no one ever accepted him for who he really was. He wasn't truly accepted by the Egyptians because he was part Hebrew. He wasn't accepted by the Hebrews because he was raised in Pharaoh's house. Even when he met his soon-to-be wife, his wife didn't recognize him as a Hebrew. His wife called him an Egyptian. So all of Moses' life, he had this conflict of Egyptian, Hebrew, Egyptian, Hebrew. But when it got time for Moses to be revived, because Moses had lost something in his life, more than something, a few things in his life, and when it came time for him to be revived, God did not call him as he was, or as everybody else was calling him. God called him for what he really was meant to be. Moses, Moses. It's not the only one. So when, after Peter fell, denied Christ three times, and Jesus went and found him. He was fishing in a boat. Jesus, long story short, Jesus was making breakfast for Peter and some of the disciples. They had breakfast, and after they had breakfast, Jesus took Peter on a walk. Jesus didn't call Peter Peter, though. Three times in a row, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John. Simon, son of John. Simon, son of John." And after each time he called him by his original name, because you know Peter's name was changed. Jesus changed Peter's name from Simon to Peter. But when Jesus was getting ready to restore Peter, he called him for who he really was: a dead man, a struggling man, a man that had failed, because Jesus knew Peter. And that's why Jesus three times said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Because Jesus knew who needed to be resurrected. He knew Simon, son of John, Simon the sinner, Simon the broken, Simon the dead man, Simon the person who lost everything because he denied Christ three times, needed to be recognized, accepted, embraced, called, and repurposed as he really was. And he really was a Simon, son of John, even though his name had been changed to Peter. Your name has been changed, but sometimes it takes time for our lives to get up to the identity that God has placed upon us. And it's sometimes for God to truly heal us, he has to call us as we were and as we are so we can be what he's really wanting us to be. So Jesus is calling you out from where you really are. From the midst of your loss, from the midst of your failure, from the midst of your death. Lazarus, come forth. Can you imagine Jesus calling you by your name and saying, come forth. Come out of the grave. Come out of the addiction. Come out of the unforgiveness. Come out of the hurt. Come out of the pain. Come out of the grave that you have been placed in. Lazarus, come forth. Jesus called him by his name, and what happened? Lazarus responded. I'm coming to an end. I know I've been keeping you long. I said I was going to keep you short today, but we're not so short, are we? Jesus gave the command and Lazarus responded. Will you respond to Jesus calling your name? He's not calling you by the label that everybody else has placed on you. Everybody else is referring to Lazarus as the dead man. Even his sisters, the dead man, the dead man, the dead man. No. Jesus called him by his name. Jesus is not calling you by your death experience or your name in the grave. He's calling you by who you really are. It's not too late. You know what? You might be a little stinky. You might be. You might be a little offensive. You might carry a certain reputation or label. You might have gone through hell upon earth. You might have taken people through hell upon earth. But I'm here to tell you today, it's not too late. It's not too late for you to experience love again, joy again, peace again, marriage again, family again, friends again, passions again, desires again, purpose again. I'm here to tell you, it's not too late. If Jesus can resurrect a dead man from the grave, he can resurrect you from whatever death you've experienced to date. But there is a partnership that we have to go into with God. We have to respond to him. We have to allow him to change us. We have to allow him to clean us up. We have to allow him to heal us. We have to give him access to our life, and we have to be willing to embrace whatever we need to do. See, for Lazarus, Jesus said, take his clothes off, his grave clothes. Let me get to this. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him, let him go. So the things that was keeping him dead, the things that was binding him up in death, was to be let go of. What are you holding on to that's keeping you in the grave? What are you holding on to that's keeping you from being free? Are you holding on to resentment? Are you holding on to past? Are you holding on to a label? Are you holding on to things you've done that was maybe stinky and offensive? What are you holding on to? If you really want to be free, and if you really want to come out of the grave that you're dealing with, you got to let those things go. You got to take them off. And here's a word to the living. Change the way that you see the dead people in your life. Let me say this again. Change the way you view the dead people in your life. I'm going to say it on this side. Change the way you see the dead people in your life. Some people can't get free, not because they don't believe and not because they haven't received it from God. Some people can't get free because nobody else sees them as being free. Maybe you look at a person as being dead because of the offense that has hurt you. And that's reasonable. But how many of us know that God expects us to work beyond reason? He expects us to work in forgiveness. He expects us to work in mercy and in grace. Amen? So it's important, if you're dealing with death in your heart, in your life, for you to receive the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it's not too late. And it's as equally important for those of us who are living, for us to see those people in our lives as people who are free and not hold their past against them, but to look at them in a new light and in a new way. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would. Let's just worship a moment and then we'll do so.
Thanks so much for joining us. We hope God spoke to you personally through this message and continues to encourage you throughout the coming weeks.